I discovered after the 8:30 service, I had reached in my pocket and pushed the button firmly to on, I thought. I'd pushed it firmly to off, and so I think we got it. Well, the scripture reading is from the 5th chapter of Mark. It's one of these wonderful, wonderful stories of Jesus, beginning with verse 21. When Jesus again had crossed in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. And then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhages stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that the power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately she got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and he told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a blues song I like. It's got a line in it, "Everybody's back is up against some wall. Everybody's back is up against some wall." In this story today, Jesus meets some people whose backs are up against some walls. First, he meets Jairus. Jairus is well known in his community, something of a big shot. He has been elected to be a trustee of the synagogue. Now, they don't just elect anybody to be that. He made some money along the way. He has a reputation, some prestige, some position. But you know, right now, he would give it all away. He would give up his position. He would give up his status. He'd give up his money if somebody could help him, because his little girl is sick. And he's frightened to death. He would gladly swap himself for her if he could. And then Jesus meets someone else. He meets a woman. She has no name. Isn't that interesting? In the story, she's a nobody. She doesn't have a name. Jairus has a name. People know Jairus. They don't know this woman. She's a nobody. Maybe 12, 13 years ago, people may have sort of known her. She used to have some money then, doesn't now. Kind of lives on the edges of the community. she has, she's sick. Her weekly routine consists of getting around for her treatments. On Monday, she goes to one doctor. On Tuesday, she goes to another doctor. On Wednesday, she picks up her medicine. On Thursday, she goes for another treatment. On Friday, she just has to rest from all of this effort. And you'd think on Sabbath, she could go into the synagogue and get renewed by praying and singing, maybe, and being with her friends, but no. Leviticus says with this disorder she has, she can't get around people. She certainly couldn't go into a holy place like the synagogue. If she went to Jairus' synagogue, the synagogue where he's a trustee, they wouldn't let her in. She's deprived of what comfort religion and her faith might offer her. These people, this woman with no name, and Jairus, their backs are up against the wall. But everything has not been removed from them because they still have hope. They still have hope, a hope that this Jesus can help. A hope that Jesus can help make it better somehow. So Jairus comes to Jesus and he does something strange for a great, well-known leader in the community. He just lays himself on the ground in front of Jesus. Not a very dignified thing to do. But he says, please come. He tells him what's happening. And so Jesus starts out to go. And there's a lot of people around. They're wanting to hear what Jesus does. And so they're pushing him close. They're kind of jostling Jesus a little bit. And Jesus stopped. He said, who touched me? And the disciple said, who touched you? There's all these people around. Who knows who touched you? He said, somebody touched me. I felt the power go out from me. And this woman confesses, this woman with no name, she said, I touched you. And she said, and I was healed. And this woman, who as far as we know had no family, no name, she gets a title. Jesus says, daughter. He calls her daughter. You're part of my family. You with me. Daughter. You're mine. Somebody comes up and tells Jesus and Jairus that it's no use going. The child is gone. They go anyway. And when Jesus gets there, the people in the house, there are people crying. Neighbors have already started bringing in casseroles. They're speculating about when the funeral will be. And Jesus says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they think he's crazy. All through the Gospel of Mark, people think Jesus is crazy. His own family thinks he's crazy. They think he's crazy. The disciples said, who touched you? What is with this guy? And Jesus goes into the room where the child is with the mother and a few of the disciples. And he touches her hand, takes her hand. He says, little girl, get up. And she gets up. And he says to these other people, now, fix that baby something to eat. Give her something to eat. Well, chances are most of us have our back up against some wall. And we gather around Jesus. Some of us carry illnesses and hurts and wounds, physical. And you know, if you do, what that does to your spirit, you know, being sick hurts your spirit too. Some of us gather around Jesus today, and we've been wounded by the church, just like that woman was, I suppose, wounded by her synagogue. She was thrown out. There's probably some of us been hurt by the church along the way. And some of us here, because people we love are We're consumed by them. We have pain because they have pain. There are so many reasons we come today to gather around Jesus. But we come like those people did because we sense that He can help us. That there is some help to be found. Strength to get through what we have to get through. You know, we know that all these people in the story eventually died. The little girl died eventually. Probably it's an old woman. The sick woman, and even Jairus. And yet, in this story, we get a hint that this Jesus is somebody who can help us in this life, but he's even stronger than death. He's the one who can get us through death safely to new life. Well, so we gather around Jesus to find help for the things that hurt us. Because we're confident that what He's done, He will continue to provide strength. At the end of that story, I think it's interesting, Jesus says to these people, give her something to eat. Imagine he looked over at all those casseroles and said, well, give her something to eat. So I guess they scooped up some of that chicken casserole and so that potato salad, you know somebody brought potato salad, and some green beans. And maybe they put a roll on her plate, a bread. Surely they put some bread on her plate. And who knows, maybe somebody poured her a sip of wine for health. Bread and wine. By which we are fed, by which we find nourishment, by which we find strength to know that we are not alone. There is one who has called us daughter. There is one who has called us son. There's one who's said to us, you and me, you're part of my family, and I will help you. So, we come today to be fed by Jesus. Every person here is welcome to receive the bread and the cup. They're signs of God's love. All persons, whether you're part of this church or whatever your age, you are invited to come and receive this bread and this cup. Let us pray. Lord, we remember how You are always sharing good food with bad people. How You came to broken people, sinners, assorted people who could not make it on their own, but had to have strength beyond themselves. And You shared bread with them. We remember how You shared bread with the disciples, even with the one who would betray You. You shared a meal with him. And we remember how on the day of resurrection You were known to the disciples in the breaking of bread. And so, Lord, send Your Spirit on us and on this bread and this cup we bless. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the whole world the body of Christ. Lord, feed us, nourish us, strengthen us until we see You face to face. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the servers would come now. Beloved people of God, blessed people of God, you who have been called daughters and sons of the Most High, go into the world in peace, love the Lord and serve Him, render unto no person evil, for evil shown you, but love one another as God has loved you. Go in the name of God, beloved Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.